lesson this morning is entitled, Unto Him, Not Me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 5 through 7, Paul says, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So Paul makes it clear that the power involved here that he's talking about is from God and not from within us. So many times we run across people who think that if they can just do good enough, work hard enough, try to practice some 12-step program or listen to enough self-help book, they'll be able to straighten their lives out. They'll be able to help themselves, even to the point of they'll be able to save themselves. In fact, there is an entire movement called humanism, which basically teaches that mankind is the greatest being there is in the world, in the universe, and that it's up to us to save ourselves. That's the gist of humanism. There is no God who's going to save us. We've got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and save ourselves. Now certainly there are some areas of our lives where there are things that we need to do for ourselves. We have to understand that. There are things that God expects us to do for ourselves. But we must realize as well that when it comes to our salvation, the power is of God. And it's not within us. Jude 1, 24 through 25 are the verses that we will be examining closely this morning. Particularly verse 24, and that was read just a moment ago. We'll read it again. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. So Jude, writing to us here, tells us he's writing about someone very special. Someone who, first of all, is able to keep you from falling. You know, when someone has had an injury or has had surgery in the hospital, or maybe those in a nursing home, and they need someone to help them, to hold them up, to help keep them from falling. Well, they're in bad shape if the person who they've got, that they're holding on to, that they're expecting to help keep them from falling, if that person falls, then they're both going to fall, aren't they? Well, that's the way we are sometimes in life. We are depending so much on another person that if that person falls, we fall right along with them. Sometimes, of course, we think that we're strong enough to, well, I don't need any help. I'm not going to fall down. I want to ask the question this morning. How many of you are there in here, and we're talking about just physically, in your life, physically, who've never fallen down? Well, no. We all fall down at times. We're all going to fall down. I remember perhaps one of the most frightening times that I fell down was when I was carrying Xander and fell. You know, that, I mean, somebody's depending on you. You're trying to hold them up, and then you fall. Well, we know, though, that there is someone who is able to keep us from falling. Now notice it doesn't say that he's able to pick you up after you fall. Well, we know he can do that too, but he can keep us from falling. You know the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And if you remember some of those times in your life when you fell, probably you hurt yourself a time or two falling. Now, it may have just been a bump or a bruise, or it may have been something like a broken bone or some serious scrapes and blood involved from falling. Well, wouldn't it have been better if it could have been stopped before that happened, rather than having to go to the doctor and get patched up, or rather than having to have somebody give you bandages or band-aids, or having to take an aspirin for the pain, or whatever it might be? Wouldn't it have been better if that had never happened? Well, the same thing is true in our spiritual life. It's better if we can keep from falling than it is to try to pick up the pieces after falling. How much better if we can stop the falling from ever taking place? But we know we can't. We're helpless. We're human. We fall. But Jude tells us there is somebody who is able to keep us from falling. Well, who is that? We want to know who that is. If there's somebody that can keep this from happening, don't we need to know who that is? Reminded of the story of the man who was up on his roof working. I felt like this a time or two up on the roof working a couple months ago. And he was up there on the roof and he was working away and he lost his footing and he started to slip. And then he started to slide. And then he started towards the edge of the roof and he was sliding off and he knew he was going to fall. And so he quickly prayed, Lord, if you'll just catch me, if you just keep me from falling and hurting myself this time, I'll be faithful. I'll go to church. I'll do what's right. I'll give up the women. I'll give up the booze. And I'm going to straighten my life up if you'll just keep me from falling off this roof. About that time, his belt snagged on a nail that was sticking up. And, of course, he stopped and was able then not to fall off the roof. And he said, oh, never mind, Lord, forget all that. This nail has caught me. Well, I wouldn't want to depend on that nail to save me when we could have someone like God to be able to save us. But we all, from time to time, we find ourselves slipping and falling, and what do? Do we turn to God for help? When our foot is in a slippery place, as the psalmist talks about his foot was in a slippery place. That's dangerous. Where do we turn? Do we think, well, I'll just have to make it on my own. I'll do it. I'll be all right. Or do we admit that we can't do it and we need some help? You know, we fall when we are weak. Our own weaknesses, our own human frailties, our own desires. James 1:14 tells us, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, we don't fall, and this may be, you know, this is a little different than the physical aspect, because physically we may fall sometimes because somebody knocks us down or because somebody trips us, or because, you know, there may be any number of reasons that we fall down physically. But spiritually, James tells us that we fall, we sin, we have this temptation before us, not because somebody else pushed us, not because somebody tripped us, not because the devil made me do this, but he says, it's by your own desires, your own lust, what's within you. So we fall when we're weak. I have a weakness to a certain area, and that's what I fall to. And we've got to know that and understand where our weaknesses are. The devil knows those weaknesses and he'll exploit them. We've got to be prepared. We're naive if we think that we don't have a weakness that the devil can exploit. He's going to. We also fall when we lack faith. See, lack of faith causes falls. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 32, Jesus is walking out on the water, and the disciples are out there fishing, and they see Jesus. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you on the water." And so Jesus said, "Come on." And then Peter came down out of the boat, and he walked on the water. Notice that. Peter walked on the water. The Bible says so. He walked on the water. But, verse 30 says, he saw the wind was boisterous, and he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Peter was doing it. You know, it's not like Peter jumped out of the boat and started sinking automatically. He was actually walking on the water. Now, I would think that doing it would be evidence enough that you could do it. Well, maybe not. Because most of us have walked that Christian life. And we did pretty good for a stretch at times. But then we started to sink. Why did we start to sink? Just like Peter. We took our eyes off of Jesus and we started looking around, and we noticed the storms were raging, and we began to lose faith. Peter lost faith there. He was doing something that no other human being had ever done other than Jesus. He was walking on the water. And he should have been gaining confidence. But instead, he started to look around and he started to think. And you know what? People aren't supposed to be able to walk on the water. Something's wrong here. This also reminds me of a story of three men who were out fishing. One of the fellows was a preacher. And the other two were not particularly religious at all. And they were out in the boat, and they were fishing there, and one fellow said, "Oh, you know what, I got some chips in the car, and I left them in there, and I'm hungry, I'm going to run and get those chips." And he hopped out of the boat, and he skipped across the water to the land, and got the chips, and came back across, and got back in the boat. And the preacher just looked at him, and couldn't believe what he'd just seen. And the second fellow said, "Oh, you know what, I brought some Cokes. And I left them in the cooler in the car. I'm going to run and get them." And he hopped out of the boat. And he went off across there into the car and then came back and got in the boat. And the preacher thought, "Well, now, wait, if these two guys, that I mean, they're religious folks, and they can walk across that water like that, he said, I can do it." And so he started to think up, and he said, what can I go back to the car for? And he finally came up with some reason to go back to the car. And he hopped out of the boat and sank like a stone. And the one fellow looked at the other fellow and he said, "Do you think we ought to show him where those rocks are?" You know, sometimes there's a trick to things. Well, with Jesus, though, there's no trick to it. Peter wasn't just standing on a rock and then stepped off the edge of it and started to sink. He was actually walking on the top of the water. And Jesus was enabling him to do that. Now, Peter knew good and well that he couldn't walk on water. He, you know, anytime he'd ever gotten in water, he sunk like a stone. That's what his name is, Peter. It means rock. He sunk like a rock. You know, he knew he couldn't walk on top of water. But he saw Jesus was doing it, and he said, "Lord, you tell me to come, and I'll come." And he started to do it, and he was on top of that water. Now, he should have known he wasn't doing it. But isn't that how arrogant we are sometimes? When things are going good, we think we're doing it. if things are going good in your life, you're not the reason. You're not doing it. It's kind of like the fella who everybody saw him. He was. It looked like he was walking on top of the water. Only his ankles were wet. And they were just amazed. Wow. My brother's 6 foot tall and I'm standing on his shoulders. Well, we're standing on somebody else's shoulders if things are going okay with us. If we're walking above the waves and above the troubles of this world, it's because there's somebody holding us up. And it's not your brother, and it's not your mother, and it's not your husband or wife or your kids. They can't hold you up. If they were under the water, they'd be drowned by now. The only one that can hold us up is Jesus. Only God has that kind of power. But He's able to keep you from falling. He's able, if you'll come to Him when you're weak, to stop the fall. He can catch you before you fall. Can He pick you up after you fall? Yes. But He can stop you from falling. Isn't that better? And yet so many times, I just can't. I know you can't. Jesus knows you can't. He told you you can't do it yourself. You've got to have Him. More than just to keep you from falling, He is able to present you faultless, blameless. This particular word is only used a very few times in the New Testament. And it means to be without fault, without blame, without sin. Jesus is able to present us to His Father without sin. They say, well, how can that be? I've already sinned. I have sin in my life. How can He do that? Well, it's not by the righteousness of the law. Philippians 3, 6 through 11, Paul talking about his own life says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Notice where that righteousness comes from. Not from the law, but through faith, the faith of Christ. The righteousness of God. Then He goes on to say, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You see there, we are hoping for a resurrection from the dead. How many of you think you're going to get yourselves up from the dead? We know better than that. That's not possible. You can't raise yourself up from the dead. Nobody else is going to raise you up from the dead. If there was somebody that could raise folks up from the dead, I'm sure it would be on CNN and Fox News and the USA Today newspaper. I mean, it would be everywhere. We'd know it if somebody was raising folks up from the dead. But there is somebody who can and who will. And we must have our faith in Him because He's the only one who has ever risen from the dead, never to die again. He's the only one. So it's not by the righteousness of the law. Paul said, I was blameless according to the law. But Jesus said, hey, you got to change some things about your life, Paul. Your blamelessness according to the law is not doing what I want you to do. He thought he was so zealous in doing God's work and he was persecuting Christians. Jesus said, your blamelessness according to the law of Moses is not going to get you what you're looking for. It's not my own power. John 15, 5 and 6, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You've all had pretty flowers in your house probably sometime, or maybe outside growing. What happens if you take those flowers and cut them off of the roots, off of that main plant? What's going to happen to those flowers? You know, maybe in a day, maybe two or three days, some of them maybe may even last 5 or 6 days if you're lucky, but they're going to wither and fade and die. Oh, you can put them in water and you can give them some of that special plant flower food and put it in the water with them, but you cut those flowers off from their source, they're going to die. And Jesus says it's the same way with you. I am the vine. In other words, I'm the root. And you get cut off from me, you can't do anything without me. You know, it's weird. You cut the flower off. We've got rose bush over there. You cut those roses off of there, and guess what happens? Another stem grows up there, and another rose blooms in a couple weeks. But that rose that you cut off, it dies. You notice how that works? The plant can grow another flower, but the flower can't grow the rest of the plant. Now, God made a very few things in this world. Where you can take a starfish and cut it in half, and you'll wind up with two. You can take a worm and cut it in half, and you'll wind up with two. But when it comes to the plant, which is what he uses as an example, it doesn't work that way. You've got to have that root. You can cut the rest of it off, and it'll die. But the root will keep living and keep growing. He's the root. He's not going to die. But if we get cut off from him, he says, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. Yeah, wait. You cut the branches off of a tree or off of a bush, and what good are they? They start looking pretty ugly if you don't clean them up and throw them in the burn pile, don't they? You've seen that. We all have. It's not by my own power. If I'm not connected to Jesus, I can do nothing. But it's by the power of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God's called us, and he will do what Paul says here. He will sanctify us if we'll allow him to. He will preserve us blameless till the coming of the Lord, if we'll allow him to. Remember, God's not in the business of making people do things they don't want to do. He's not going to force anybody to go to heaven. He's not forced anybody to go to church. He's not forced anybody to worship him. If we will allow him, he will preserve us blameless. Not only is he able, but he will. Now unto him that is able. Remember, the power is not ours. 2 Corinthians 12:9 also tells us, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The people who think they can stand all by themselves are the ones that are really the ones that are confused. People speak of Christianity and religion being a crutch for the weak. Yes. What they don't understand is they're just as weak as all the religious people. They just don't have a crutch to stand on, to lean on. Yes. Christianity is a crutch. It's more than a crutch. It's a walker. It's the thing that holds us up, that stands us up. It's what can keep us going. The power of Christ. And His power is shown. His strength is shown in His ability to make the weak stand up and be strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong, Paul said. That doesn't make sense, does it? When we're weak, we're weak. But because of Christ, it's when I admit my weakness, when I understand my weakness, then I can tap into the power of God and the power of Christ. God has all power. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. To Him who is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think or imagine, He's able to do abundantly above all that. He has all the power He needs and then some. God is able to save us, to keep us, to protect us, and to raise us. What else do we need? And what of those things could we do by ourselves? Not a one of them. We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves. We can't protect ourselves from the Satan or from any of his devices. And we sure can't raise ourselves up. Hebrews 5, 5 through 10. John 10, 27 through 29. Hebrews 2, 18. And 1 Corinthians 6, 14 teach us that God's able to do all those four things. He's able. We can depend on Him. And so, it's to Him that the glory and the majesty and the dominion and the power should be. To the One who is the only wise God and Savior. Not me. Not you. Not a president. Not some other religious spokesperson. Not Moses. Not Buddha. Not Muhammad. Not the Pope. None of those people. They're not the ones who should get the glory and majesty and dominion and power. No, no. God is able to keep us from falling. And even if we have fallen, and all of us have fallen at some time, He's able to lift us back up. He's able to present us then blameless. You know, a lot of us, if we sinned, we could stop that sin and maybe even pay back the people we hurt by that sin to some degree and go on with our lives and maybe never do that thing again. But there's one thing that we could never do. We can never erase that sin. It's impossible. Only Jesus and His blood can wash sin away. We could never do it. Even if we only ever committed one sin in our whole lives, that one sin that we could never forgive, we could never cleanse, we could never be blameless of on our own, would keep us out of the presence of God. Only through Christ can we be presented blameless, faultless. So He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to present us faultless, without fault. In spite of the faults that we had, He's able to erase those and cleanse that and make us pure again. He is able, and He deserves all that we can give Him. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, there's no better time to become one than now. In Acts 10 and verse 33, Cornelius, after the angel told him to send for Peter, he says, "Immediately I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." What an example Cornelius was. When he was told that Peter knew what to tell him, he sent for Peter right away. And he got Peter there and he listened and he said, "I got my family and friends all here, and we're all here ready to hear everything God's commanded you. But just hearing's not enough. John 6:29, they asked Jesus what work they should do, and Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." Don't let anybody tell you they don't believe works save them and then tell you that they're saved by faith. Faith is a work. Jesus said, the work of God is to believe on Me whom He has sent. But then not only must we have faith, we must put that faith to action. We must repent of our sins. Acts 17 and verse 30 says that the times of this ignorance God winked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, whereof He has given assurance unto all men in that He has raised Him from the dead. He's going to judge the world. And He commands us to repent. All men everywhere. But then we must also confess. John 12, verses 42 and 43, it says, there were some among the chief rulers who believed on Him. Were they saved? Well, that's it, isn't it? You believe on Jesus, you're saved, isn't that what? But what does He say? He goes on to say, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. We've got to confess. Just saying in our heart, I believe, is not enough. We've got to confess. We can't hide it. We can't be undercover Christians, secret agents for Jesus. It doesn't work that way. He didn't have any secret agents. Everyone who's a Christian is one openly and unashamed and unabashedly a Christian. And then we must be willing to be baptized. Colossians 2 verses 11 and 12 says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead. That baptism is the point at which we put off the body of the sins of the flesh. We put off the sins and put on Christ. And then we must, of course, live faithfully to Him. Revelation 2:13, Jesus says of those there, I know your works and where you dwell and even where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast My name and have not denied My faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was My faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwells. Satan dwells here in this world, and he's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, if he doesn't want to devour those who are already his, he wants to devour Christians. He says, you have held fast and have not denied My name. That's faithfulness. We hold fast. We don't deny Him, either in word or in action. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become one by following those steps. Following them from the heart. Not just going through the motions and going through those actions, but by having the spirit and the attitude that goes along with those actions. And if you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but perhaps you have not been living as you should, maybe you've been trying to do it on your own, thinking you can save yourself if you just be good enough, you need to give up on that idea and start depending on Jesus. He is able to keep you from falling. He's able to make you stand. He's able to save you. He's able to raise you. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand.